He Said, She Said, Lecture 10, Talking at Work.
In this lecture, I'll look more closely at how these gender patterns in ways of speaking affect what happens at work. After I wrote the book, You Just Didn't Understand, many people said to me, this is really helpful, this is great, but I spend more time talking at work than I do at home. We often think of our problems at work as having to do with our boss or our coworkers or the job. But frequently we can actually trace some of the frustrations to how language is being used in the workplace. And in this lecture, I'll look particularly at patterns that I observed in my own research on how women and men use language at work. The basis of this research was an extended project where I went into workplaces, had people take tape recorders around and record what they said when I wasn't there for a week. I had all that transcribed. Then I went in on my own and shadowed people. I did this after they had recorded themselves so that my being there wouldn't affect those recordings. And I talked to many of the people in the workplaces, not just those who had taped, but everybody they worked with at the same level, their superiors and their subordinates. Many of the patterns that I'll be describing have particular impact at work because ways of speaking are the basis for decisions that affect your work life. Getting recognition, getting raises, job assignments, promotions, merit increases. All of these rewards in the workplace result from how we're evaluated by other people, and the way they evaluate us is based in very large part on how we talk. I found, for example, that if a woman had to make a decision, she frequently would start by asking other people what they think. In her view, she was simply getting their input, but she was going to make the decision. Frequently, however, a woman who was starting by asking people, what do you think, would be misjudged by her boss or her boss's boss as asking other people to decide. And then they would conclude, she really doesn't have the authority or doesn't feel confident to make the decision by herself. Here's another example. A woman had to ask a man who worked for her to rewrite a report. In telling him what he had to change, she started by telling him what was right about it so that he would know that she appreciated the work he had put in and everything that he had done well. In one case, however, when the man handed her the revision of the report, she discovered that he had hardly made any of the changes that she had asked for. When she talked to him about it, he said, "Well, you told me it was fine the way it was." It turned out that because she had started with praise, he had taken the praise as the main point. He figured he was home free. When she got on to what to her were the really important points, that is, what he had to change, he felt that this was just an afterthought, something that he could do if he felt like it. In an earlier lecture, I talked about the tendency of women more than men to say, "I'm sorry," or offer other apologies. And in fact, when I observed women and men at work, I found that women were frequently being told, "Don't apologize, it's not your fault." There were many reasons that women were saying, "I'm sorry," more often than men. Frequently, it really was not an apology, it was simply, "I'm sorry that happened." So it was not revealing your inner state, feeling that everything was your fault, but it was focused outward, taking into account the experience of the other person. So, for example, if a woman had to chastise a man who had not come to an important meeting, she might start by saying something like, "I'm sorry you missed that meeting. It was pretty important for you to be there. I thought I had told you about it, but if I neglected to, I'm sorry." She says this knowing that she had told him about the meeting, but she's saving face for him. And what she expects is that he will come back with something like, "Yeah, you did tell me about it. I was delayed, and I'm really sorry. I'll make up whatever it was that I missed."